This morning I had intended to preach a message entitled Set Up the Standard, about how God had set up us as Christians up as standards and how we need to stand regardless of how the world moves. And there were several things that were in the news this week that caught my attention that I thought the Lord was leading me to preach that message. But as I was driving home last night, I was so overwhelmed. And I don't know how you left last night, but I was so overwhelmed about how great God's love is for us that I went back to my sermon file, and I said, it's just that it seemed that the Lord was speaking to me to preach a message about God's love this morning, and that was confirmed by the song you just sang, Brother Wendell. So this is a what the TV guide has a little R by. This is a repeat of all my messages that I've preached here. If I was going to pick one that displays to us the love of God for us, this would be the one. Walt read the scripture a moment ago that talked about this story in the life of Jesus and his friends. Bethany was one of the favorite places on earth when Jesus was here that he liked to go. A little cottage in Bethany. It's on the backside of the Mount of Olives. Perhaps it was in a crook in the road, but Jesus often went there. When he was hungry, he'd get a meal. When his clothes needed washed, they would be washed there. It was a place where he could go apart from the crowd and relax and fellowship with some of his sweetest friends that he had on earth, Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha. Jesus has been away for a while from his friends, and word comes that his dear friend Lazarus is sick. The Bible says he doesn't start toward Bethany right away, but that he stays where he is for a couple of days. And during those days, he says to his disciples, Lazarus is asleep. And his disciples said, well, he must be better. If he's sleeping, he's not sick now, he must be better. And the Bible says, no, Jesus said plainly to him, he's dead. He's dead. And so Jesus and the disciples start toward Bethany, and Martha, Lazarus' older sister, hears that he's on his way, and as he approaches town, she runs out to meet him. And the Bible says, from the verse that Walt read just a moment ago, that Mary stayed still in the house. Martha talks to Jesus, and I don't have time to go over everything that they talked about. But I'd simply have you notice that Jesus mourned and comforted those two sisters. We read in this story in John chapter 11, we didn't read the verse, Walt didn't read it a moment ago, in verse 32, everybody should know this Bible verse, John 11, 32, two words, Jesus wept. And he wept as he went to the cemetery and saw the grief all around him, saw these two dear sisters grieving for the loss of their brother. Now, Jesus knew what he was going to do at the cemetery. He knew that he was going to bring Lazarus back from the dead. But yet as he stood there and saw these his dear friends grieve, he grieved with them and he cried. Martha goes out to meet him. They talk, then they turn and head back toward the house. And the Bible says that Martha goes on ahead secretly to find her sister Mary. And when she finds Mary, she says these words, and this is the title and the text for my message this morning. The Master is come and calleth for thee. Father, thank you for your great love. I pray this morning we could experience it in a fresh and new way. What you did for us on Calvary was so great. I pray now you bless your word, bless the preaching of it. Holy Spirit, let us feel your presence this morning. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to take that one line. I'd like to break it down for you this morning. The Master is come and calleth for thee. And I'd like to just point out four simple things. First of all, I'd like you to notice who it is that comes and calls. The Bible says it's the Master. The Master. Martha went back and said, Mary, it's the Master. The Master has come and he's calling for you. Now that word master means controller. It means the one that's in charge of everything. The one that runs the whole show. The one that gives the orders. The boss. The master. And it was the Master that was coming. It was the Master that was calling for Mary. Now, Jesus hasn't changed. And it says in Hebrews, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Master. He is in charge of the whole universe. He's the one that's created it. He's the one that holds it together. He is, as the Bible calls him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator and Sustainer of everything. He's the Master. Deaf ears heard him and obeyed and heard. Blind eyes obeyed and saw. Lame limbs obeyed the Master and walked. Palsied hands heard and obeyed and stilled. Muted tongues that had never spoken a word heard when the Master spoke and were healed and talked. Sickness left bodies, fevers left, and dead bodies at the word of the Master, the controller, the one who's still in charge of everything, rose from the dead. He's the Master. Storming seas obeyed him and calmed. Raging winds obeyed him and stilled. Water obeyed him and turned to wine. The earth obeyed him and shook. The moon obeyed him and darkened. Fish obeyed him and brought his tax money. I'd like to find some of those fish, Brother Vern, if you're ever out fishing. I wish you'd catch me a couple of those. But he's the Master. When the bread he broke, that bread and fed those great crowds of 4,000 and 5,000 people on two different occasions. The bread obeyed their Master and multiplied. Demons fled at his command. He spoke and light came into being. He spoke and waters were gathered together and dry land appeared. He is the Master. He is the controller. Everything that's made in this earth, he made it. Everybody that's in this earth, he created, he made, and he holds it all together. And when Martha went back to her sister, she said, Mary, it's the Master. The Master. He's come, and he's calling for you. Notice number two, the words is come. Is come. Mary and Martha couldn't go to Jesus. Lazarus was sick. They were caring for him. After he died, they couldn't go to Jesus because they had to prepare for his funeral, prepare for all the things that are connected with that. But you know what? Jesus came to them. They couldn't go to him, but Jesus came to them. You know, it's a long way from earth up to heaven. It's a long way from earth to the throne of God. It's a long way from where we are in our sin to the goodness of God. And regardless of how man has tried, we can't make that journey. Back in Genesis, they tried to build a tower up to heaven and get to where God was. Couldn't do it. And down through time, men have used all sorts of means to try to make that journey to get to where God is. They've tried sacrifices. They've tried their own righteousness. They've tried religious ceremony, and they couldn't make it. But the good news of the gospel, the good news of the Bible, is that you don't have to worry about getting to where God is. God comes to where you are. Now, I don't know about you, but that excites me. I can't get to where God is. My goodness is not good enough to compared to him. The Bible says it's wickedness, like a filthy rag that's soaked up the pus from the leper's sores, thrown into the dirt, caked with mud. And all my righteousness in God's sight compared to his is like that filthy rag. I can't go to where God is. I can't be good enough. I can't give enough sacrifices. I can't pay enough money. I can't lead a good enough life. And if it was up to me to get to where God is, I'd die and go to hell. And so would every single one of you. But my dear friend, we don't have to get to where God is. He came to us. That great gulf that separated us from God, we couldn't cross, but the Son of God could. And he crossed that gulf. And he came. Mary, the Master is come. And he's calling. He's calling for you. I love that word calleth. in the Bible. It's the same word that's used in Matthew chapter 26, verse 74, where the Bible says, "And immediately the cock crew." That rooster that morning of Jesus' trial didn't sound out with a little bitty cock-a-doodle-doo. When it called out, it was like a rooster that I can remember hearing down on my grandfather's farm. Cock-a-doodle-doo! I mean, that when that rooster... It woke some of you up. Sorry about that. But when the rooster crowed, it crowed, and you heard it. It's the same word that's used in the Bible in Matthew chapter 27, verse 46, when Jesus was on the cross. When Jesus was on the cross and when he cried out, he did not say in a soft tone, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He said with all the strength that he could, in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? Same word used in Mark chapter 10, as the blind beggar Bartimaeus stood beside of the road. He didn't call out in a soft voice, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. No, he wanted to be healed. And he said in as loud a voice as he could, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Same word used in John 11, verse 43, in the very same chapter from where our text comes this morning, when Jesus stood in that Galilean cemetery, and the Bible says, he called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! It's the same word that Martha used when she said, Mary, the Master has come. He's calling for you. And I can see the picture as Mary and as Martha and Jesus head back to the house, and Jesus called out, Mary, Mary, it's the Master, where are you, Mary? And that's the same way that Jesus calls to us today. And when he calls to sinners today, that we're in our sin, we're on our way to hell, Jesus doesn't call with a soft voice. Sometimes he woos. But he calls with us. That's why he has such loudmouth preachers. He wants you to hear the word of God. And he calls to us with a loud voice. Here I am. I've come. You couldn't come to where I am. I've come to you. I've come to the place that you are. I want you to go to heaven. I don't want you to go to hell. I want you to be saved. I want you to come and live with God forever in that place that we've prepared for you. Master's come. Mary, the Master's come. And he's calling for thee. Mary, he's calling you. By name, he's calling you. Here was Mary, little unknown, single woman. You have to understand, back in that day, women didn't count for much. Especially single women. Couldn't work, couldn't hold a job, couldn't hold a position. And yet here's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords walking in that little Jewish town, calling that little Jewish lady, Mary, Mary, Mary. You know, that's the kind of people Jesus calls. That's the kind of people he calls. The Master's come and calleth for thee, Zacchaeus, you wicked tax collector that cheated people out of their money because of your greed. He's calling you, Zacchaeus, because he wants to forgive you and have children all down through the ages sing that little song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. He's calling you, Zacchaeus. The Master's come and calleth for thee, Peter and John, the old rough fishermen. Don't know good English, but the Master's called for you. He wants you to be preachers. Turn the world upside down for him. The Master's come and calleth for thee, Saul of Tarsus. You that persecuted Christians, you that did the best that you could to stamp out Christianity, he wants to change and use you to go to the Gentiles, right? Most of the New Testament and found churches all over the then known world. The Master's come and calleth for thee, Mary Magdalene, fallen woman, possessed of seven demons. He wants to change you. He wants to make you a disciple. Wants you to be the one that he appears to right at the very first after he resurrects from the dead. The Master's come and calleth for thee, Matthew, you that sit at the receipt of custom. He wants to make you an evangelist to tell his story. The Master's come and calleth for thee, thief on the cross. We don't know what your crime is, whether it was murder or theft, but the Master's calling and he wants you today to be with him in paradise. The Master is come and calleth for thee, woman by the well of Sychar, five husbands, living now in adultery. He wants you to have some living water. He wants you to go back and reach your whole town for him. The Master is come and calleth for thee, Nicodemus, you religious ruler, religious leader of the Jews, teacher of the law. He wants you to be born again. Master's come and calleth for thee, blind Bartimaeus. You that stood by the road and called for him, he heard that call. And now he calls for you because he wants to give you a sight. The Master's come and calleth for thee, a demonic of Gadara. You that run through the graveyard naked, he wants to come and give you your right mind. The Master's come and calleth for thee, little children. The disciples say Jesus is too busy. But he says, no, suffer the little children. Let them come unto me. The Master's come and calleth for thee, doubting Thomas. He wants to take away those doubts. He wants you to know that he is alive and that he is powerful enough to defeat death. I don't care who you are this morning. I don't care what condition your life is in, what burden you bear, or what sin you've committed. The good news of this book is the Master is come, and he's calling for you. The last verse that Walt read a moment ago from John chapter 11 tells us what Mary did, and it tells us what every single one of us need to do. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. That's all Jesus wants us to do this morning. He's calling for you. With a loud voice, he's calling your name. If you're here today and you've never received and accepted what he did for you on Calvary, he wants you to come, just like you are, and receive him. If you're a Christian, he's still calling you. He calls us every day to remind us how much he loves us, to remind us that he cares for us, to remind us that he watches out for us, to remind us that there's nothing going to happen in our life that he hasn't planned and he knows is the best for us. Would you listen to the Master's voice this morning as he calls your name? And would you do the same thing that this little Jewish lady did? Arise quickly. Come unto him. Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you for the great love that it tells us about. Thank you for reminding us all in a special way every once in a while how great that love was. I pray this morning for that one that may be here that's never received Christ as their Savior. I pray this morning they'd be overpowered by the love that you had when you sent Jesus to die for them. And I pray that that love would drive them to receive Christ, to come just as they are and accept him as Savior. And then, Father, I pray for Christians who maybe we've gotten our eyes off you. We've forgotten how much you love us. Maybe we just need to come back and once again, like the prodigal son felt the arms of his father wrapped around his shoulders, maybe we need just to come back to feel the arms of our Father, our Heavenly Father, wrapped around us. And I pray this morning, if there's Christians like that, they would come, they'd kneel at this altar, they'd get right once again with their God. I pray you'd bless the invitation, help every decision that needs to be made this morning. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.